Hey, everybody.
Hi, guys. Well, from beautiful, fall-colored Salt Lake City, Utah.
It's Thank God I'm Atheist.
The podcast.
I'm Frank.
And I'm Dan.
Coming up on today's episode, we're going to be talking about something that hit our Facebook page.
Yeah.
A little video that got posted that we want to spend a second half of the show talking about. So
it's fascinating.
Fascinating stuff indeed. So hopefully that's enough to help you stick around.
Yeah.
A little
teaser for you.
A little tease.
We're such teases.
So Dan.
Yeah, welcome back, Frank.
Oh, thanks. It's good to be back.
Yeah. Did you have a good time?
Had a great time. Lovely time.
You were being a sardine.
Of sorts. Yes.
Often.
If being crammed into small places is what you meant.
In Sardinia.
Yeah, definitely. Plenty of small places. Lots of tiny bathrooms.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. Our bed and breakfast that we stayed at in Cagliari was lovely. But the bathroom was just about the smallest thing you could ever imagine. You could actually rest your head on the sink. The toilet kind of sat in underneath the pedestal of the sink. The pedestal sink was kind of a table for the toilet.
Nice. That's great if you're feeling really sick.
Yeah.
If you are so drunk that you know you can't tell if you're going to poop or throw up, that's the setup you want.
Yeah, we've all been there. Yeah. No, but it was a lovely trip. Had a great time.
Good.
Saw plenty of little churches.
Mm.
Nothing to really report back on about that. Duomo, though, was lovely in Milan.
Yeah.
Obviously, Milan's not in Sardinia, but
right.
On the way back, we did a day in Milan. And
that's nice.
Yeah.
Well, lovely. You know, you got those old churches. I mean, it doesn't matter what your religious predilections are. Old churches are great.
Oh, I love them, yeah. Sardinia was weird. It wasn't a very populated area. It wasn't wealthy, you know, all of that. So the churches were small, and they just didn't have that impact
modest.
that Milan had.
Right? Well, yeah. You get Milan.
Cathedral. Yeah. But popped into a bunch of them. Well, what was actually really cool in Sardinia is they have these neurotic sites, these neurotic temple sites.
Yeah, you mentioned that, and I had never even heard of that.
Yeah, most... Yeah, I mean...
How do you spell that?
N-U-R-A-G-H... I see.
Wow.
Yeah. Neuragic. Or you can just say a nurage, drop the IC
right.
at the end and put an E.
Right.
And a nurage is this like conical tower things that they built. Maybe I'll post a picture of me up on top of one of them.
You should.
Yeah.
It was
pretty fun.
Put that up on the Facebook.
Yeah.
Nice.
So, but lovely, lovely, lovely time.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. Well, we're back in the swing.
Yeah.
Here we are.
We're back here.
So, should we do a story?
Let's do a story.
You want to go first?
Well, yes, I do.
Okay.
So, Dan, I got back to Salt Lake.
Yeah.
Just in time for conference.
For Mormon General Conference.
Yes. It's a big weekend in Salt Lake.
It's a bi-yearly. No, it's a half-yearly.
I'd say half-yearly.
You don't say bi-yearly would be every 2 years, right?
Maybe. Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
It's that whole problem with the bi prefix.
Right, yeah.
Because bi-monthly can be every 2 weeks or every 2 months, right?
Anyway, they do it twice a year.
Am I right about that?
I don't know.
It's so weird.
My mom's the English professor, not me.
Yeah. Maureen, tell us, please.
Yeah, exactly. twice a year, they have a full gathering. Not a full gathering, like not all the Mormons come to Salt Lake. A lot of them do.
Mm.
But their leadership speaks to the entire church.
Yeah. And it's inspirational.
Oh.
It's truly amazing.
It's a beautiful, beautiful, the most boring thing you'll ever experience in your entire life.
Well, how many hours is it?
Oh, I don't know. It was always just torture. It was like all I could ever think. Like everybody around me always seemed to know when all the sessions were going to be and stuff. And I was like, why do you pay attention? It's just awful.
Well, you only have to pay attention once. And if you just can remember, then you know that it's at 10 to 12 on Saturday.
Right.
And then 2 to 4 on Saturday. And then there's general priesthood in the evening. I don't remember what time that's
only
at.
The men go to that.
Only the men go to that one. And then there's Sunday, you have the same morning schedule again,
right.
10 to 12, and then
And they have this in their giant their giant what is lovingly referred to as the Mega Knackle.
Yeah.
Which is their conference center, which looks like Joel Osteen's setup, only fancier slightly.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's arena seating. It's huge.
It's unbelievable.
25,000-30,000 people?
It seats 20,000 people.
Something like that.
No internal support whatsoever.
On the balcony.
And there's a huge balcony.
Yeah.
Huge.
It's impressive. It's enormous.
Mormons have money.
Yeah.
And they dropped some money on that thing.
Yeah.
So I wonder how much they spent on it. I mean, I know that's like, because we know how much they were willing to drop on the mall.
Well, but the mall,
$2 billion.
They knew they were getting a return on that investment.
Oh, they're getting dividends in heaven for this one.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So
anyway, so by the way, if you don't get your tickets to go and see the thing live in the Mega Knackle,
don't worry.
You get to go to your local steak house, your local ward house, or your steak the ward house that houses your steak.
Mm-hmm.
What do they call that? The steak?
Steak center.
Center. Thank you. The steak center.
Yeah.
And then you get to watch it on TV.
Yeah. Or if you live in Salt Lake,
you can watch it at
home. You can watch it on Channel 5.
Right.
KSL.
So
our local NBC affiliate.
And it's not just here, actually. I think they're streaming it on the web, aren't they?
No? I'm sure. Yeah.
So there's all kinds of ways to see it, and
thank God.
And what's hilarious is Facebook just lights up with the phrase "pajama church."
Oh, what? I never heard that.
Yeah, because
you
don't have to leave your house, but you get to hear the very special messages from all of the leaders.
Oh, it's just lovely.
Yeah. So anyway, conference weekend,
and so of course that means that there are some good developments coming from the church.
Not always. It doesn't always mean that.
Good for us.
Good. Well, no, but what I'm saying is that most conferences, they don't announce anything new or interesting.
Oh.
Very little ever happens. They just tell inspiring stories to keep the people.
Barely inspiring.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not even inspiring.
Well, the thing is, Mormons are trained and very adept at seeking out and finding the inspiration in a boring, stupid story. They're good at it. It's like, it's amazing.
No, it's true.
They can cry at a story that you're just like, wait, what? So wait, the kid didn't actually get lost, but he almost got lost, and that's inspiring to you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I knew. I sensed that he was wandering away. I didn't know where he was, but something told me I heard a voice say, "Where's Jordan?"
Yeah.
And I turned, and he had almost walked away. Like, this is the kind of shit that you hear, and everybody's like, "Oh my God, that's amazing."
So good. It has a lot to do with cadence of voice as well. The cues are more in the cadence
right.
than anything else.
Absolutely. Yeah. Someone slips into that phrasing and that kind of ultra sincere delivery, and everybody else like keys into it immediately.
Well, and General Conference has like this, the all the general authorities do this, "Brothers and sisters, we're gathered here today in this beautiful structure that the Lord hath provided for us in these latter days." And it's
so
just like,
bad.
Oh,
it's so
God.
Bad. It's terrible. Yeah. Anywho.
Okay. So
please do the story. We're going to die here.
Salt Lake Tribune.
Okay. Oh, yes.
Salt Lake Tribune covers it, of
mm-hmm.
course.
Right.
Because they can't let the Deseret News get all the hits on this one. So right. they cover it too. Mormon leader decries divorce, abortion, same-sex parents. no surprise here.
No.
That we know how they feel about it.
Right.
But they let Dallin H. Oaks, heavy hitter.
Yeah, he's one of their big ones.
He's a big one. Go on and on and on and on about how, the need to protect children. Okay, good.
Yeah.
He's up in arms about abortion.
Mm.
Okay, no.
That's interesting. The Mormons usually don't get weighed too deep into the abortion thing.
They're willing. It's an election year.
Right.
And they have a Mormon running for president, let's face it. Who needs some help.
Yeah.
Divorce.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is so funny.
Which,
why?
Okay.
Why?
Well, and the way that he's framing it is that divorce is almost always bad for the kids.
Huh.
When it in this day and age, I would say, no, you're kind of helping the kids out.
Yeah, we know for a fact that's not the case.
You're getting those kids out of a bad situation.
Sometimes it can be very bad for kids. Yeah. Sometimes it's awesome for kids. You're modeling better relationships by doing this. Or you're modeling, what you're doing is telling your kids, you don't have to stay in something that's awful.
Right. Mormons don't want you to believe that.
No.
They want you to stay with the awful thing because you're more likely to stick in their church, too.
Well, yeah, not far off.
Yeah. There's that abuse. Abuse.
That's bad. I think we can all say that.
I'm
anti-abuse.
Cohabitation.
Oh.
Bad. Bad. Don't cohabitate.
Don't live with people. Stop living with people.
And then, of course, single and same-sex parenthood. Because it is harmful.
To the children.
And one of the things he says is, quote, children, they need decision makers who put their well-being ahead of selfish adult interests. And that's why you don't put kids with gay people.
Right.
Because they're selfish adults who have their own interests, and they just want the kids for what?
Just to show off.
To show off. Accessories.
You know what?
Right?
You take a kid in a stroller with you to the park, you will get so much dick. Like all the other boys will just glom onto you.
Almost guaranteed, actually. That one is, it's like having a dog.
Yeah.
But better. But totally better. A dog that can.
That shows that you're willing to commit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
See? You're sending good messages. Yeah. It's like the handkerchief code, only
If you're wearing the child on the right side, it means you're willing to commit.
If you've dressed the child in a black jumper, then it means that you like it in the front.
If you're wearing the child on the right side, it means that you're the committer. And if you're wearing it on the left side, it means you're the committee.
There are some confused listeners right now.
Gay handkerchief code, people. Come on.
Google it.
But with the safety on.
Right. Well, yeah.
Internet safety on, people.
Be careful. Yeah. Google it if your eyes are not easily shocked. Yeah.
The list is impressive.
If you're listening, you may not want to. I'm just saying. Anywho.
Yeah. So they're actually bringing up this whole thing. And of course, you know, we were talking earlier about how it just seems like they are taking this opportunity with General Conference to maybe bring up a couple things, remind people about like who they are and what they stand for and what kind of church, what kind of people Mitt Romney associates with.
Right. Yeah.
You know, like because they don't normally come out on an array of like socially charged issues.
They're hitting hard and I mean, you cannot look at this General Conference
as a typical
through any other lens, mm-hmm. but the lens of we have a presidential candidate.
Right. Yeah.
It's all there is.
Yeah. Yeah, so. Absolutely.
Along those lines, I'll tell you another thing that they announced at General Conference yesterday.
What was that?
And this one, as one of my Facebook friends put it, she said, the Mormon interwebs are aflame.
Okay. This is intriguing.
Because, and for those of you who don't know Mormonism, which is probably most of our listeners.
That's true, yeah.
This may not sound like a big deal at all to you.
Okay, well, let's get to what it is.
Here's what happened. The president of the church, Tommy Monson, got up and made the announcement that there are new ages for when young people can go on their Mormon missions.
Yeah.
Young men can now, who used to only be able to go when they were 19, mm-hmm. can now go at 18.
Yep.
And young women who would go at 21 can now go at 19.
Wild.
This is a Bombshell. Which is so funny because to everybody else, I'm sure it's just like, so?
Yeah, so what? What would the repercussions of that be?
Right, right. So it's huge. It's huge. In part because, and there's several implications. But the main implication here, what they're really, what I think they're really going for is trying to look less sexist. Trying to make equality in the genders seem more plausible within the church.
Okay, let's do a little history here, so that might make more sense.
Right.
Because there's this whole thing that because women couldn't go until they were 21, it was actually viewed as, we don't really want you to go on a mission.
Right.
We want you to get married, which is also a message that says, we want you to get married young.
Yes.
We want you to be married before you're 21.
Literally, at BYU, which is sort of Mormonism concentrate, if you are a woman attending BYU and you're not married by the time you're 23, people...
You're a spinster.
People pity you.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they ask you how old you are. You say 23. You don't see a ring. People go, oh, well, that's okay.
It'll happen.
It'll happen for you, I promise.
You still have a few years to be in a singles ward.
You're a pretty girl. You'll find someone.
You'll be fine.
Maybe do your hair a little different.
You have nice eyes.
You have such a sweet spirit. You'll find someone.
You'll find some sweet spirit. Yeah. But anyways, it's crazy stuff.
Yeah.
So what that means now is if girls are eligible to go at 19... let me tell you, they've had to discourage girls from going. Girls have wanted to go on missions.
Oh, yeah.
They want to do this.
And they really did work to discourage, like, that's not your job.
The numbers are, what, maybe 5-1, 6-1, maybe even like 8-1.
Male to female.
Sort of currently out there serving.
Correct. Yeah.
In my mission... which was in Rome, Italy.
Mm.
There were, 150 typically missionaries, I think. Maybe about 20 to 30 sisters at any given time. I think that my ratio is probably pretty decent there.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, so now it's being viewed as though they're welcoming young women to serve.
Sure.
And that is a big deal. That means it's going to change the face of their missionary force as well.
Right.
Sort of their marketing team is going to.
Right.
Yeah.
It's interesting because you remember we spoke a couple months ago maybe about a conference of Mormon women.
Mm-hmm.
And they had talked about they came out of that conference with a list of things that they thought, changes that they thought were reasonable for the church to make to bring a little more gender equality within the church.
Yeah.
And one of the things was let women serve their missions at the same time as men and for the same duration, because women also don't serve for as long on their missions.
But that hasn't changed.
That's
something that... So, I mean, you say that... You feel like that this is something that the leadership is doing to kind of try to show, oh, yeah, well, we're great with women and everything.
Right.
And there's equality and this and that. No, it's still 18 and 19.
Right.
So there's a different age to start at.
Right.
So I don't know what the thinking there is.
Right.
And the other thing is that they're not serving for the same amount of time.
Yeah. And all of that, I think what's funny is that to my mind, I still have this sense that's what they were trying to accomplish. They just failed.
But they're saying that the men are more valuable in the mission. We want them there for 2 years.
Yeah.
They get trained and we want them there for 2 years. The girls are less valuable. We only want them here for 18 months.
I guess that's what they're saying. I don't know.
No, if you look at it as just like interpreting it, like I don't know how you look at that and not feel that they're devaluing the value and the presence of women.
But they're devaluing the women slightly less.
So it's
slightly less devaluing.
Well, okay, great. Right. And most people outside of sort of the Mormon realm won't understand, and they won't dig deep enough to see it. They'll see it.
Why would you bother?
It as a major step.
Who the hell cares? It just means that like more people are going to be bothering you at your house now.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it means. Like to our listeners out there in the rest of the world, and believe me, you're not safe if you're in Australia.
Yeah,
you're not safe, Bjorn, in Hamburg.
Right.
It's going to get to you.
And here's the thing: like, they're going to show up in the frumpiest dresses you've ever seen in your life. It's not a good thing.
No.
These poor girls.
No, and
they all need some makeovers.
They really
do. Serious help.
They have to be long dresses with.
Now, granted, with though, these are the girls who weren't married by 21.
Now
it's
yeah.
They might get the
pretty girls
the
might
pretty
be going out. Oh, all right. Be prepared, world. We're sending out the good ones. That might work, actually.
Yeah.
At the very least, they'll get more discussions.
Yeah.
They won't get more conversions, but they'll get more discussions.
Here's the thing, though. Like, do you remember the, like, I can't remember who listed, like, there was, like, a list of, like, it was, like, a top 10 sexy list thing.
Uh-huh.
Somehow, like, Mormon missionaries.
Oh, made it under the
made
list.
Made it on the list.
Oh, my God.
Like, somehow, like, it was this really weird thing a number of years ago. It won't be the case anymore. Because, like, there can be, a young guy in a suit.
Mm-hmm.
If the suit's cut well.
Which
they never are. But you can have a thing for, you know.
And also there's something about a pious kid.
There's something about a pious young man.
Yeah. Where it's just like, right? Oh, you want to wreck that kid. You want to ruin that person's. I mean, it's the same thing with the young women.
Yeah.
You just see an angelic, pretty little person. And you're just like, oh, I want to ruin you.
There was a sexy priest on the flight back from the UK.
Sexy priest.
Sexy priest.
Nice.
Hadn't seen one of those in a while. A young, sexy priest.
There you go.
But anyways, I diverge.
Anyway, well, let's get off of... Are we done with General Conference?
Yeah, we can stop General Conference. Okay, I got a good one.
Okay,
I just didn't want to stick with the Salt Lake Tribune or anything too Salt Lakey. I've got this one that I really like. Descendants want justice for Connecticut witches is the headline.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay.
So kind of intriguing headline, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this article starts at age 82, Bernice Mabel Graham Tellian doubts she'll live long enough to see the name of her great, 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 great grandmother.
Whoa.
Cleared.
She's how old?
For being hanged in colonial Connecticut. As for witchcraft.
That would have to go back to like the 1500s or something. Or,
it was 1663.
Wow.
Okay. So she was researching her family tree and she discovered that her seventh grandmother, I said great, right, seven times there.
Wow.
I think they might have that wrong. But anyways. There were, I said seven greats.
Sure.
Yeah. Was sent to the gallows at the site, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. In 1663. And, apparently, you know, you can't find her grave anywhere because she was, after they were hanged, they were, just dumped in a hole somewhere. Their graves are not marked.
Right.
And they specifically wanted these people to just be forgotten.
And now this woman wants her 40 acres and a cat.
And I guess, I mean, why does she, how can you connect to the narrative of a great grandparent of a seventh great grandparent?
Right.
What
is she wanting, reparations of some sort?
No, she just wants the name cleared so that this ancestor can be cleared of witchcraft.
May rest in peace.
Probably.
Right.
I mean, there's definitely.
Well, no, here's the thing. Can she offer any proof that she wasn't a witch?
Well, apparently, if you do go back to the court records. Which she clearly has. The case was circumstantial. This is in the article.
As opposed to all of those legitimate witchcraft cases that they had out there.
But anyway, so they've called upon the Board of Pardons and Paroles to have her, this great, 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 great grandmother, and 10 others that they're working to get cleared. They've tried to get them pardoned, but they don't grant, pardons for the dead. You cannot be posthumously.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
In for anything?
For anything. It's just, it's policy. It can't be done.
Well, I mean, truthfully, yeah, the damage is done.
Damage is done.
What good's a pardon going to do?
Yeah.
Let's just pardon everyone who's dead for everything. It doesn't matter. It doesn't change anything for their lives.
Yeah, that's true. And even if you believe in God, it's God's version of...
God doesn't
care what's written on the books and some whatever.
I don't know. Maybe he does. You don't know.
These people are so desperate, though, okay, that they have called upon Queen Elizabeth to pardon them because it was a colony.
Oh my God!
At the time,
so yeah.
So they're like, this can't go to the president.
No,
this has to go to Queen Elizabeth.
Right? She's got to do something about this.
So, but her office wrote back denying the request.
Oh,
so they're just up again. I mean.
Oh. That is so hard.
It's going to take an act of the their local legislature in order to pull this off.
Well,
to
frankly,
clear their names.
Frankly,
once and for all,
they should just decry all witchcraft trials as having been stupid and say sorry. You know what I mean? Like, just do a blanket one.
Well, what they should do, and this would be great, because some of these people who are working to get their names cleared are actually. Wiccans,
yes, of course they are. Oh my God, of course they're Wiccans.
So they don't want it to be like anybody saying, well, you know, they should never have been tried for like they don't want witchcraft to be dismissed,
right? Because witchcraft's totally legit, but not a hanging offense.
Oh my God, pretty amazing.
I do love the whole Wicca thing. Is there, first of all, is there a Wikipedia? I just thought of that.
There better be.
There has to be. W-I-C-C-A.
If they have Wikipedia. Any sense of humor about themselves.
Right.
Which, let's face it, they probably don't.
No. I would imagine not. I'm going to look it up.
But Wikipedia, that doesn't take too much of a sense of humor to pull off.
That just takes some cleverness. I'm gonna do it. Wikipedia. Nope.
He's searching right now. There's no Wikipedia.
No.
You need to like claim that one day.
I know, right? I could get that.
We could have Wikipedia.
Something's parked on it.
Oh, there is.
I think somebody owns it, but there you go.
Somebody doing what I just suggested.
Right.
Some Wiccan someday will want that.
Yeah.
And they will probably pay $50 for it.
Yeah. Anywho. Yeah. The whole witch thing is just like honestly, I can't. I just don't get it. I just don't get it. If you're like a palm reader or a psychic or whatever, you're getting paid for it.
Hmm.
You know, you're buying into some bullshit, but you're getting paid and you're getting somebody else to buy into it too. But you know, they feel like they're getting something out of it. If you're just practicing witchcraft.
Yeah.
And nothing's going to happen. Like, well, I mean, I guess it's...
People buy into bullshit all the time. Yeah. People buy into conspiracy theories. People buy into just any basic, simple, run-of-the-mill religion that we've all become used to.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, I think it's just people who
Mormons
want...
Mormons paid 10% of their income.
Right.
That's how much they're buying into that bullshit.
Yeah. Well, and the thing about Wicca is that it's clearly... Most of the people that I've ever met who were Wicca, who practiced... any sort of Wiccanry, generally they were raised in some sort of mainstream religious environment.
Mm.
And it appealed to them to go to some ancient pagan. I think they just want to wear the funny clothes.
Funny clothes.
And
they probably want to piss off their parents.
Right. Yeah. Right?
There's definite piss off of your parents.
We are
appeal.
So dismissive. We're like, we're dismissive in the way that people are dismissive of atheism.
Like, oh, who cares?
Yeah, no, it's fine. But I don't. The thing is, I don't dismiss Wicca any more than I dismiss, you know,
any more or
Christian
less.
Or whatever. It's it all just is ridiculous. It's all silly. You people believe silly things.
Wow, Dan.
Yeah, I'm mad now.
Yeah. Well, I think we can be dismissive about the beliefs.
Yeah.
Right. I have no problem with being dismissive about
Absolutely.
Beliefs.
Well, we're not talking about... Yeah. I'm not telling... Yeah. Anyway, I'm going to switch to the subject.
Oh?
From witches to Canadians.
Not too much of a switch. I don't know. What?
Canadian Wiccans. I wonder what they would be like. It's like as nerdy as you can possibly get. It would be like a Ren Faire on steroids. Anyway, this isn't about Wiccans. This is about, in Canada, the prison system in Canada has made a change.
Oh.
It's a really interesting thing. Canada, we always think of as being so progressive or at least permissive or Inclusive
is
the word I'm thinking
that's
of.
That's a good word.
Yeah. Well, apparently now the Canadian government is canceling the contracts of all non-Christian chaplains at federal prisons.
I beg your pardon?
That's right. There will be no more Muslim, Jewish, Sikh. There will be no non-Christian chaplains in federal prisons in Canada from here on out.
Why? Do they give a reason?
Not a good one. They basically say that they strongly support the freedom of religion for all Canadians, including prisoners. But it was just too hard to. I think the main reason what they're saying, because I mean, what came up was, and this is true. I really should have led in with this. What came up was that someone in British Columbia had requested a part-time Wicca. Wiccan chaplain.
Chaplain, yeah.
And they just didn't want to wade into the part-time chaplain business. They thought it was a waste of their taxpayer money. Okay. And then that just launched a whole thing about, like, how can we streamline this and blah, blah, blah. And the truth of the matter is, it's just the same shit that we see here in the U.S. all the time, which is somebody wants to legitimate Christianity as the real religion.
Mm-hmm.
And so they come up with some bullshit reason.
Wow.
And they
so what's the Canadian response, Ben?
Well, I'm glad you asked me that, because that's a good question to ask. Yeah. I have no idea. I'm sorry. The article that I read does not really go into that at all.
Because I would really be curious.
I don't know that it's made sort of the mainstream news that much. I'll have to check into that.
Yeah.
Just because that is an interesting question, but because you would think that it's hard to outrage a Canadian, mind you, that, you know, their outrage kind of looks more like, oh, I'm not sure I like that very much.
A furrowing of the brow, more than outrage.
A mild furrowing, sure. I think there's probably some furrowing that's occurred.
Some
Canada.
Puzzled looks, maybe?
A little, oh, really? Oh, I'm not sure about that.
Huh.
No, huh. I don't know. It's, but yeah, that, I thought that was an interesting and troubling development.
It's a little surprising. I mean,
technically, a chaplain at a prison is required by law to minister to people of all faiths.
Yes. But,
you know,
we don't do part-time.
Or why not just say,
is there a member of your community that would like to volunteer?
Yeah.
Because we don't do part-time.
Yeah, why not just say, we don't employ chaplains?
That's what it should be.
Why are they wasting taxpayer money on employing chaplains at all?
Yeah, they should be getting rid of the Christian ones too.
Right. Yeah. Frankly,
it's a secular society, that's what they should be doing.
And these religions will supply someone. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
They'll send somebody out.
Absolutely.
If you're a member of a congregation and you reach out to your chaplain or to your priest, something will be done.
Well, I mean, there's prison ministries all the time.
Right.
That's actually kind of interesting.
Yeah. I don't know why. The truth of the matter is they should just dismiss the entire thing.
Yeah.
They should fire all the priests, all the chaplains. You're done.
Yeah.
Get out of them.
Gone. Be gone.
Yeah.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, here's an interesting question.
Mm-hmm.
So you know that in the Mormon temple, or to go to a Mormon temple, you have to have a temple recommend, right? Mm-hmm. You have to have the, like, your pass card.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And you have to present that, and then, and you have to be like a worthy LDS. Mm,
you have to go through a whole interview to get the pass card.
Well, and pay away 10% of your income to the church. And
right.
There's all those sorts of things that they double check. And, oh, yes, you provide us with 10%, you may enter.
Yeah, exactly.
And so the question's coming up because Mitt Romney,
yeah,
already has Secret Service.
Oh, yeah. Oh, of course he does.
Because he's the candidate from the Republican Party. So the question is, and so far it hasn't had to come up, but let's just say Romney became president. 4 years would be a long time for him to not go to the temple.
Right. Mormons aren't required to go to the temple, but
They go.
You're expected to go
regularly.
It's one of those things that you're supposed to do.
You decide what regular is for you, but you go.
Right.
You should be going a few times a year, if not more.
Yeah.
The question is, how would the Secret Service handle this?
Right, because they can't go in.
They cannot go in.
Unless they have recommends themselves.
And there's this dude in this article who wrote a book. His name is Ronald Kessler. The book is called In the President's Secret Service, Behind the Scenes with Agents in the Line of Fire and the Presidents They Protect.
Right.
It's kind of a wordy title.
Yeah,
but
it's a little overbearing.
A little much, Ronald Kessler. But but he says there is no way the Secret Service is going to put up with that restriction, with all due respect. They will get permission. And of course, the church will understand and want him protected. They will go in.
No, they won't.
That's what he says.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you know, this is from the Salt Lake Tribune. So the Tribune sort of also is considering the whole fact that and found some people who would chime in and say, well, there's surely at least a handful of Mormon Secret Service agents.
I happen to know of one.
Okay. So their thought is that there would
suddenly
some sort of compromise.
They've got POTUS detail.
Yeah, exactly. Just because of religion.
Just because of their religion. That's interesting.
Really interesting.
I actually
very interesting sort of issues.
Andrea's cousin was maybe still is in the Secret Service and was served with W.
Oh.
Yeah, okay. he was on Air Force 2.
No way.
Yeah.
No way.
So there you go. So he could be assigned to Mitt. He'd love it.
Yeah. Well, and it could also just be that they have, like, temple patrol.
Mm.
You know, that on scheduled temple days.
Right.
You may not be part of the sort of the main group or whatever, but nonetheless, they would have to figure something out.
Right.
Because the Mormon Church would be,
they are loath to let anyone in.
They would not like the idea of even men who had been sworn to secrecy about what they were going to see saying it.
It's not about the secrecy of it, because the secrecy
it's the secrecy.
Right. It's the sacredness. Yeah. I mean, the deal is that, and Dave and I actually talked about this a little bit last week, that it's not secret, it's sacred, and we've mm-hmm. said that too. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's nothing that's not on the web somewhere. If you want to find out what happens in the temple, go on the web, you'll find it. It's boring and stupid, but you can find it.
You won't want to read it once you find it, but you can find it.
But it's there and stuff. But yeah, the Mormons hold it to be this holy, sacred place, and I think it breaks the illusion for the Mormons if somebody's allowed in who hasn't gone through the vetting process.
Mm.
I think they can't allow it, because if they allow it, then why was it such a big deal for everybody else? You know what I mean? Like, if they let these guys in.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, what if they found somebody who was at least willing to sign the BYU honor code? Like,
they'll have to write a special honor code. It's a Secret Service special honor code. Yeah, you have to shave. You have to promise to wear nice shoes, and your mm-hmm. hair can't be below the collar on your shirt,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and no piercings.
No piercings.
Then maybe. Oh, and if you have a tattoo, that's out. You're out.
Well, no visible tattoos.
Sure. Sure.
At all. Right. I mean, I don't think you're supposed to get them, period, but don't show anybody.
Right. For the love of all that's good and holy. Oh, well. Yeah. Well, you know, that's, there you go.
Sisters don't get tramped.
I've often wondered what would happen if, like, there was a fire in a temple.
I think they just put it out.
Well, do they?
Well, I know they let paramedics in. And
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, but there's sort of in those scenarios, I've wondered if there's not just sort of a kill switch for the temple. It shuts off all the video playback. Shuts everything down. And people are like, everybody, take your silly hats off.
Okay. Everyone, please return to normal looking clothing so that you don't look.
Yes.
Take off your apron.
Yeah. Get all the sacred stuff, quote unquote, the sacred stuff.
And boy,
out of the way.
If you think like the Mormon underwear is silly, you should see what people are wearing in the temple.
Oh my God!
Little chef hats that are attached to their
amazing.
It's
amazing.
It's a whole getup.
I love it. That is worth Googling.
Yeah, yeah. You know what? Look up Mormon temple clothes. You'll find it. You'll see a bunch of green aprons and white clothes, and it's hilarious.
Yeah.
It looks like the Swedish chef is. It's
dressed in white, except for one green apron.
Yeah,
it's really
yeah.
Weird.
Maybe it's more. Yeah. Anyway, so I'm going to move on to a different religion.
Oh,
the Catholics.
The
Catholics.
Yeah, I was just in their homeland.
Indeed you were, and this story takes place in that very homeland.
No way.
In Roma.
Oh. Well, I wasn't there. Sadly.
No. Oh, well, and technically this is Vatican City.
Oh.
Which isn't even the same country. I shouldn't have said Italy, because it's nothing to do with Italy.
That's true.
It's its own country.
That's true, yeah.
Anyway, have you heard about the scandal that happened with Pope Benedict and the leak of
yeah.
a bunch of his documents.
Oh, yeah. The Vatty leak.
Vatty leak scandal. Indeed it is. Well, there was. So what happened was a bunch of mostly faxes, as I understand it. Mostly the Pope's faxes.
Well, and I thought there were some handwritten notes.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that.
But I think he was faxing those too.
Oh.
I think a lot of this was literally like that type of thing.
He faxes handwritten notes.
Yeah, he doesn't have
Has
an
he
iPad.
Not heard of email?
I know. Get an iPad, for crying out loud.
It's Pope Mail.
Boop, boop, boop. Anywho, so, I mean, and this, what's funny is that most of the documents that were leaked are pretty banal, pretty stupid. Some of them show, basically all they show is that there's petty infighting within the Vatican. And that,
I could have told you that.
Duh. And that there's a little bit of lying and intrigue. And I think there was some homosexual scandal
really?
Thing. Yeah, I think so.
I didn't get that far in the article.
I read it. I mean, literally, there's like a half a sentence that mentions that. And so I haven't read all of the... I haven't read this guy's book that... Because the guy that got... the guy that received the leak, the man to whom this was all leaked, is a guy named Nuzzi, who wrote a book.
Nuzzi.
What is his name? Giancarlo Nuzzi, something like that.
Giancarlo. Giancarlo.
Anyway, so he wrote this book. And anyway, so there was this big like hubbub. Who leaked it? Who leaked it? Well, it was the Pope's butler. The butler.
The
did
butler
it.
Literally did it.
The butler. Well, at least that's who was just convicted of doing it.
Oh, do you think he was a
No. He admits to it.
Oh.
And says that he doesn't feel like a thief. That he was doing it his motivation was the love of the church, sort of thing.
Oh.
Yeah, it was a kind of this idea of, you know, there's corruption happening, and I want to reveal it so that it makes the church better, sort of thing.
Wow. Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, he's saying he did it, but there's a lot of people saying that there were bigger, more important people.
Wow.
Sort of backing this.
Part of the infighting.
Right, who haven't been caught. Who haven't.
Ooh.
They've got their fall guy, though.
Wow.
Paolo Gabriele.
There have been some ring-kissing going on.
Uh-huh.
There's been some...
Yeah, there's... I think when the white smoke goes up and the next pope is there, we'll know someone.
We'll know who it was. Wow.
Yeah. Anyway, you gotta love, you know, Dan Brown's gotta be doing something with this.
Do you know what I found interesting, though, about this? The article that I read about it said in a small courtroom in the tiniest country in the world.
Yeah. Well, not only that, yeah.
I was like, that's kind of funny. I've never even really thought about courtrooms.
Yeah.
In the Vatican City.
Right.
Right. Because it's sort of this, you know, you just, I hadn't thought about it.
And apparently this courtroom is used, this court is used to handling about 30 cases of petty theft a year or something like that. It's right. like this tiny little,
right.
doesn't do anything. And then suddenly it's like, the biggest case in any, in the world sort of thing.
But what I also thought was amazing is that Giancarlo is living with his wife and three children. He's been under house arrest.
Oh, you're talking about the guy who leaked it. Yeah. Not Giancarlo. That's the guy. That's the author who got it. The butler's name is Paolo Gabriele.
Oh, Paolo. Paolo Gabriele. He has been living under house arrest for the last however long.
Right, yeah.
With his wife and three children in the Vatican City.
Yeah.
He lived in the Vatican City.
Well, he was the Pope's butler.
I know, but like, it wouldn't be that long of a commute to commute from Rome.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Like
the big commute.
Yeah. From... huge, awful commute. But no, he was one of the 1,000 residents who live in the Vatican or something like that.
Wow. Yeah.
Amazing.
Well, there you go.
And he's potentially prison time.
Yeah. No, he has been sentenced to prison time.
Yeah.
18 months, I think.
Well, they think the Pope will probably pardon him.
Oh.
But nonetheless, prison time. In the Vatican. Can you imagine what those cells are probably like?
He'd be the only guy there.
Yeah.
They just bring him lunch. They chat with him.
Yeah.
Hey. You know, whatever.
How's it going?
All of the bars have a cross as part of the bar. I don't know.
Yeah, who knows?
Gold-plated bars in the Vatican prison.
And what's his bucket? Ratzinger would come and visit.
Ratzinger.
He would look through the bars.
And he wouldn't say a word. He would just glare.
Glare at him.
And then walk on.
And then walk away. Yeah. Mm. Oh, my goodness. I like that scene.
I like that. That's a good image. Yeah. It's a good image.
It's like, why did you betray me?
Paolo,
why did you betray me? Except I'm doing an Italian accent.
Right, it needs to be a German accent speaking Italian. Do a German speaking Italian.
Oh, dear God. I actually heard a German speaking Italian.
Did you?
Yeah.
In Sardinia?
Do a German for me and I'll try to pull it off.
The Germans, they're coming for you. German Pope doing the German accent.
Paolo, perché l'hai fatto? That's not it either.
That's terrible. Who cares? Nobody's like, who's going to call us on it? Frankly.
Paolo, perché sei I'm having to
we'll
think
work on it. We'll work on it for you. Anyway.
I'm not good at dialects.
Is it so?
It's not my thing.
No. It is my thing.
Yeah.
But, that one's a tough one. That's a hard one. Anyway. Wait, is that it for stories?
It. Okay. Yeah.
So what are we going to listen to?
We are going to take a listen to some Christians in that's totally Tulsa, in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. This is being reported from the Channel 6 News, KOTV.
Oh.
Yeah. In Tulsa. So here we go.
Hey, Leggy, Tribal Town continues construction on its Red Clay Casino as upset homeowners continue their efforts to stop it. Today, several hundred neighbors paused to pray for a resolution. News on 6 reporter Emily Bauckham has the new developments from Broken Arrow.
A day of rest for the land caught in the middle. The K-Leggies are turning the red dirt to rake in the green. Building a casino to dig out of a rough economy.
Thank you so much.
But neighbors say that money comes with a price.
Well, I feel like the crime rate will go up in this neighborhood.
They've organized a petition drive of nearly 9,000 signatures protesting the development.
We would never, ever do anything to prohibit them from having a business venture. This just isn't the right one, and it's certainly not the right place.
Failing the power of the pen, neighbors double down with the power of prayer. Biblical shofar horn sounded off. 20 minutes of silent worship. asking for God's wisdom to cool the controversy.
I know if there was a Kyalege Indian Museum or a Kyalege Hospital or a Kyalege gas station on this corner, that they'd have my business and probably the eager business of the whole Broken Arrow community. I'm not saying that those are good ideas, but couldn't we come up with some idea?
Praying for a middle ground that would benefit both the Kyalege tribe and the city of Broken Arrow, and repair relations between the two stakeholders.
We can start by keeping the land over here a blank slate, and that would be a great first start.
This group hopes the power of prayer works quickly. The Kyalege tribe is expected to open a temporary casino next month, with the permanent facility opening sometime next year. In Broken Arrow, Emily Balcom, News on 6 tonight.
Wow. I like the horn.
The horn is killing me. I just have this image right now of, like, a feud starting and them blowing their stupid horn. And it's one of those long, windy, twisty, like...
Oh, it looks like a ram's horn.
Antelope
thing.
Horn.
Antelope
long
thing. Yeah,
thing.
Not a ram's horn. Yeah, what...
I don't know what that is. Some sort of ibex or something.
It's probably ibex, actually.
Then they're blowing their horn, and I can just see... I want to see the Indians, like, playing their drums right back at them. Like, everybody's angrily blowing their religious instrument at each other. Why are they blowing a horn? Somebody just had one.
They had one.
And some kook.
Some wacky Christian.
He's like, you know what? I'm going to blow my horn at them. I am going to blow them.
I am going to call forth God with my horn. That's what I'm going to do.
Oh, my God. That's so weird. That's your old stomping grounds.
Oh, yeah. My parents live not far from there at all.
Oh, my God. That's just... Yeah. When we don't want them to not do business. We'd be more than happy if they had a gas station.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they don't want a gas station.
No. Why would they want that? They want to make some money.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to own a casino. I would love that.
I wouldn't.
No?
I hate casinos.
I hate them too, but they rake in money.
Yeah, well, that's not...
That's all I care about.
That's...
Yeah. Anyway.
This is Dan, everyone.
What? Money's not all I care about in the world, but owning a casino, the only reason I would own a casino is to rake in the money.
Right.
No.
I was just saying, I wouldn't want to go near it.
That's fine. I like casinos. I think they're wacky and weird.
Well, they have that factor going for them. I think that they're horrible. They prey on the people who typically don't have the money to, to be in them. And especially in Oklahoma.
Well, yeah. Okay. Well, way to be a downer on my thing.
No, but when you start putting casinos out in this is in Broken Arrow.
Right.
Which is a suburb of Tulsa.
Okay.
And so, like, this is not, like, out in the sticks.
Yeah.
But where my parents are, and there's a casino, is out in the sticks.
Right.
And let me tell you, they're just preying on the poor of the area. Nobody else goes there except for the people who really can't afford to be pissing their money away.
And maybe truckers that are driving through or something.
Same story, though.
Yeah, yeah. It's true. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right.
I mean,
at least this one's like next to an urban center, so it's going to be urbanites going out to it to just have a good time or whatever.
Ish. Maybe. They already have them in Tulsa.
Oh, okay.
They have casinos. I mean, because the way that it's ends up working is the Indians buy a bit of land.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow they pass it over to the trust.
And then
all of a sudden now
it becomes sacred holy land or something.
It's Indian land. And so they can do whatever they want from it. And they're exempt from the local laws.
Right.
As far as like gambling and whatnot are concerned. When it was there just used to be Indian smoke shops everywhere.
Mm.
That was a little different.
Yeah.
Right. This is
maybe that's what the guy was really trying to say. You know, if they just open up a nice smoke shop, nobody would be mad. Why can't they go back to that? Oh my goodness. Well, you know what we didn't do?
What's that?
We didn't tell anybody about how they can get a hold of us.
Oh, that's true.
We usually do that right before we go into our little break.
Oh, wow. Do you know what? I'm flying blind. I didn't do my notes today.
Yep. That's what happens. Anyway, you can reach us. We are reachable.
On the Facebooks.
Sure. Go to there. Go to facebook.com/TGIAtheist.
Or you can follow the Twitter feed, which is just a mirror of the Facebookens.
That's all that is.
And that's...
At TGIAtheist.
At TGIAtheist. We also have a an email address.
Yeah.
And that you can email us at podcast@thankgodimatheist.com.
Yeah.
And there's a blog that's also thankgodimatheist.com. You should check that out.
That's always fun. You can even phone us and leave us a voicemail.
And that's 424-666-TGIA. That's 424-666-8442.
Yeah. Also, we should talk about donations.
Yeah, well, we got a couple more. Well,
yeah, just a couple weeks ago, for those of you who haven't been paying attention, we started to accept donations from y'all.
Yes.
Not because because this costs us money to do, and it's nice. It would be nice for you to share that with us.
Wow.
What? I'm not trying to say. Did that come out wrong?
I don't know. No, it was lovely.
Anyway.
So anyways.
We do have some people that we want to thank, though, because the fact that people are actually doing this for us is really, really nice.
Yeah, it's remarkable. And we greatly, greatly appreciate it.
So I'm pulling it up right now. Sorry, it's taking a second.
Well, and
if
you do want to become one of these people,
right,
you can go to our blog, thankgodimatheist.com, and look over on to the right side of the page. Scroll down slightly,
and you'll see Jesus.
Yeah,
pointing at you.
Yeah,
saying, "Hey, pay your tithing."
Right. If you click on that, then you can go through the whole thing. And there's two ways that you can donate. You can either do a one-time, sort of just
lump sum,
just whatever you feel like,
however much you think it's a value to you and what you can afford.
But if you'd like to become a subscriber, you can also do that.
Right.
And we have three levels that you can do that at. Just small amounts that monthly would happen.
Yeah.
And for that, you would need to be a PayPal member.
Account. Yeah. Be very careful about that. It will make it look like you can do it without being a subscriber, and then it'll just tell you that something went wrong, but it won't tell you what that is, really.
Oh, okay.
So basically, you just have to sign up with a PayPal account. That's free to do.
Great.
Once you've done that,
can quite handy. There's a number of bills that I pay every month with my PayPal.
Right. So. Yeah, absolutely. It can be quite useful. People who have done this, we need to thank Bjorn, who donated a lump sum last week, and we thanked him for that, has now become a subscriber as well.
Oh, thank you, Bjorn.
So that's really great. Jan's Storybooking is a subscriber, as well as Steven, who has subscribed. And then Rebecca gave us a really nice lump sum donation. So
that's wonderful. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you guys so much for that. And we encourage you, if you can part with some of your money, you know, if you can give up a cup of coffee a month or something.
Well, it's a nice thing that the internet allows you to do, which is you can, you know, kind of set your own price for things that you're participating in. And I think that's wonderful.
Yeah. And you know, we have fun things that we want to be able to bring to you. But right now we can't really afford to do it. So think of it not only as a thank you for what we've already done, but think of it as an investment in future fun that we can all have as a group together.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
All right.
So there you go.
Well, should we move on?
Yes, let's move on. We were Paul on Facebook brought something to our attention.
Yes.
That and we found fascinating.
Yeah. And it requires us listening to another bit of video.
Well, it'll be audio.
It'll be audio
for you
but
guys.
It's video that we're
You can go playing. On the Facebook. Paul's little thing is there.
Yeah.
You can actually see the video.
And so we're
going
to listen to it real quick.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, we're going to spend a little bit of time talking about it because it brings up some pretty interesting issues.
Right.
Politicians often get in trouble for saying the wrong thing at the wrong time that's taken the wrong way. But in Harrisburg today, a lawmaker raised eyebrows for what she refused to say. And it kicked up a tiff between the most conservative member of the House and the most liberal. A ho-hum House State Government Committee. Republican Chair Daryl Metcalf on the left, Democrat Chair Babette Josephs on the right. Daryl asked Babette to lead the pledge. She refuses.
If I could ask everyone to rise so we can say the pledge, and could ask Representative Josephs to lead us in the pledge.
Thank you. I do not pledge the flag of the allegiance based on my First Amendment rights and the fact that I really think it's a prayer. And I don't pray in public.
Josephs remembers when Congress inserted the words under God into the pledge, and she says that makes it a prayer.
How many years ago was 1954? 50. I have not said the Pledge of Allegiance since, and I will not say it into the future, unless they take those words out and make it less of a prayer.
Metcalf concedes it's her First Amendment right, but calls it wrong.
Flag, I think is shocking that any elected official would not say the Pledge of Allegiance to our flag.
As with most issues, Josephs has a completely different take.
Especially if you're in elective office and you're invoking the name of God all the time. To me, that's the height of hypocrisy. I will not do it.
There are some around the Capitol questioning Darrell Metcalf's motives. He knows Babette Josephs does not say the pledge. So why publicly call on her to do so?
The man's inscrutable to me. I don't know what he's so angry about. I don't know why he's so angry at me. I don't get the whole thing. Ask him.
And I've never asked the minority chair to say it. It was an opportunity for her to say the pledge. If she chose not to, that was on her.
Now, Babette Josephs is in the final weeks of a 28-year legislative career. She lost her primary in April.
It's an interesting thing, this pledge of ours.
Yeah.
And since not all of our listeners are American, we right. should explain what it is.
Yeah, the Pledge of Allegiance is... it's a little thing, a little oath of sorts.
Right.
That all school children say at yeah. the beginning of the day. Everybody stands up. They put their hand over their heart, the right hand over their heart. And they say the following words.
They recite it. Go ahead.
Okay. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
There you go. And we've all learned this and we all say it.
Yeah.
Well, except and not everybody says it.
Not everybody says it. And I'm uncomfortable saying it.
I don't say it myself.
Yeah.
And but for a myriad reasons, mm-hmm. actually, mm-hmm. you know, the original, the original Pledge of Allegiance stated simply, I pledge allegiance to my flag and the republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Simple.
Yeah.
Simpler.
A little bit weird about the whole, you know, it doesn't, it's my flag. It doesn't specify it's the flag
weird.
Of the United States and
right.
all of this stuff. So, yeah. so they've made changes periodically through right. through history. The biggest one, the one that's now of controversy
mm-hmm.
is the addition of the phrase under God.
Yes.
One nation under God, as opposed to one nation indivisible. Now it's one nation under God, indivisible
yeah.
with liberty and justice for all.
Yeah.
So there you go. That I mean, interesting. I thought her concept of it turn of the phrase under God turning it into a prayer is an interesting thought.
I had never thought about that before.
No, me neither.
That
does
never
it?
Been I that wasn't the source of my objection to it. Does it change it?
Does it turn it into a prayer? I mean, I
don't think
a case could be made.
You could say it. So, I mean, it's definitely, it's, but what are you doing? You would be praying to the flag.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, the whole thing, frankly, it is, the phrase under God is wholly objectionable. I think.
Absolutely.
I think it, and it should be to any American. Any mm-hmm. American who understands their country. And the yeah. origins of the of our founding documents, the Constitution of the United States, you know, all of these founding documents
mm-hmm.
were meant to be inclusive of everyone.
Yes.
Well, the phrase under God excludes a lot of people.
Absolutely.
At this point, probably almost a fifth of Americans
mm-hmm.
are going to be excluded by the phrase under God.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of fucked up.
Yeah.
And shut up, assholes. Don't make us say that. Now, what's funny is that I stopped saying the pledge as a child.
Oh, really?
And I stopped saying it because I felt, because at some point I was thinking about it and I just thought, well, why am I pledging allegiance to a flag, to a country that could change? I just thought, you know what? If this country became something that I didn't like,
mm-hmm.
I didn't want to have sworn my allegiance to it. This is how serious a kid I was. Like, what kind of a kid cares about that
you
stupid
were
shit?
A downer.
Damn.
You were a major league downer of a kid.
Not always. I was fun sometimes, but I did think about shit like this. So that was my reasoning behind not pledging. It was just because I didn't want to swear allegiance to something
Huh.
It was, that's what it was about. Because I believed in God at the time.
Yeah.
I didn't worry about that.
Huh.
Didn't even occur to me.
Yeah, I always really looked down on the Jehovah's Witness kids.
Oh, do they not pledge allegiance?
They don't.
Oh, and
we had a bunch of Jehovah's Witness kids at my school.
Oh, really?
And they didn't do it, but they did it for religious, not like their reasons were religious,
right.
Not like some sort of their parents didn't have philosophical objections to it.
Well, you know, I frankly find it weird that any religious person, any person who puts, you know, because theoretically, you got to put God above your country.
Mm-hmm.
So why are you swearing allegiance to something that's below your God?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I imagine if I were a Christian, it would make more sense to me to say, I only pledge my allegiance is solely to God.
Yeah.
And nothing below it.
Right.
And I'll make every other call on a case by case basis, but
right.
Yeah. But no, the Christians in this country love that pledge.
Oh yeah. Well, and it's my objection to it as an adult is it just seems silly. No, it really does. Like there's this flag, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pledging allegiance to this flag.
Yeah. I mean, it's a symbol.
Of course it's a symbol. I understand how all that works, but why not say I pledge my allegiance to the Republic?
Right. Yeah, I mean, that's weird. Do you know what the original salute for the pledge was?
Was it the Heil Hitler?
It was basically the same thing as the Nazi salute. You would pledge your allegiance by shooting your right arm out.
No.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a little picture of it on the Wikipedia if you want to see it. It was called the Bellamy salute.
When did it change?
When the Nazis took it over.
Seriously?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They were like, let's do something different now.
Oh, my God. Why? Wow.
Yeah.
You shouldn't let them
dictate.
Yeah.
Frankly, you should. You don't want to be a Nazi. You don't want to look like you're doing the Nazi thing.
But if it wasn't the Nazi thing for us, why does it matter? Were people clicking their heels together at the same time?
Well, they were saying it in German. That was weird.
Ich pledge allegiance.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no. That always seemed really strange to me. And now, of course, as an adult, it is the whole under God thing that makes me a little uncomfortable. I just don't want to get all wrapped up in it and all of that.
Well,
and
the other thing is, what about it? What effect do people think that this thing is having? Because to me, it, even though I don't label it the way this state legislator did as a prayer,
mm-hmm.
it still reeks of the same tactics that religion uses.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the fact that it's a chant, that it's like a set thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a ritual that you participate in. To me, that just feels, it literally feels like religion. It's the way that you lock something into somebody's brain.
Mm-hmm.
It's the way that you sort of manipulate, you know, through repetition, you manipulate someone's brain to lock into something that they may or may not be buying into.
Well, what I don't understand is, for your average citizen, why do you need to feel allegiance to your government?
Right.
Right? Like, I don't understand that. I think you should feel allegiance to your people, your community, mm-hmm. There's something about, you know, the culture of a place, right? Like, that's something that you should want to protect. That's something that you should want. Like, that's what you should feel a connection to.
Or to the ideals of an
ideal.
Yeah. Like, I pledge allegiance to the ideals of the Constitution of the United States.
That's be a really good thing.
That's a thing.
That's a totally a good thing.
I believe in that.
But beyond, like, unless you're like in the CIA, right?
Right.
Like most Americans walking around living our daily lives, there's no chance for us to be committing treason.
Right.
It'd be pretty hard.
Yeah. And day to day, there's no reason to be traitorous.
Yeah.
There's nothing treason-y going on.
And so why the brainwashing into like this whole America thing?
Not only that, but like even if you're in the CIA, even mm-hmm. if like there's a chance that you could actually commit treason,
mm-hmm.
you saying a pledge isn't going to change that.
But going back to the ritual thing that you bring up, that's what it's about. If it's ritual, you're being indoctrinated into
right.
it.
Yeah, there isn't right. there this indoctrination.
That's why
is
you
issue.
Have a holiday. That's yeah. why you have the 4th of July. It's to sort of, you know, so you have this daily recitation of a prayer that you're doing, and then you have your holiday.
Mm-hmm.
You see that God on display.
That's interesting. Yeah, I mean, maybe this lady's objection starts to sound more and more legit. Well, you know what I mean?
No,
I mean, I understand. Believe me. But even her prayer objection mm-hmm. starts to sound really legit
to
me.
Oh, yeah.
Like, obviously, we object to the pledge, but, like, her concept of it being a prayer sounds more and more legit the more we're yeah. hashing this out.
And what I find really interesting, though, and just to talk about kind of what was going on in the room, it's obvious that this other legislator does not like her.
No, and
so
clearly...
there's obviously something personal there. But what I find really interesting, the more I think about it, is that he's doing it in the last couple of weeks of her tenure.
Yeah.
And he's basically, in my mind, yeah, he could just do something personal, but he's probably already had words with her.
Sure.
Right. And so trying to publicly embarrass her, that's a dick move. But I think he's really just drawing a line in the sand.
Yeah.
She's somebody that he can afford to offend at this point.
Right.
Because she's about to be gone.
And so he's saying,
listen, this is a warning to yeah. anybody else in this legislature who thinks that they're going to make a stand like hers.
Right.
I will call you out publicly for it.
And it's not only that. He can now go back to his constituency and say, and basically say, I mean, what he's trying to do is say, I'm in the Republican Party. We're the party that likes America.
Well, there's that.
There's the Democrat Party. Clearly, they hate America.
Yeah.
And look at it. Here's my proof. She yeah. won't even say the pledge.
Right.
Who, what kind of America hating nonsense
yeah.
is that?
Yeah. It's really sick. It's disgusting. It's a disgusting style of politics that he's playing.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, the whole concept of America to me, like the most important thing about America, conceptually speaking,
mm-hmm.
is that we're allowed to challenge everything.
Yeah.
We're allowed to challenge our government. We're mm-hmm. allowed to challenge everything. And you know, and that's certainly not unique to the United States. It's nothing. No. That's something that every civilized country has a version of.
Right.
But these people don't want that.
No.
They want that they want that to be stricken away.
Yeah.
They want the religious model for government.
Yeah, it's better for them.
Yeah.
In their mind.
In their mind. Yeah, yeah, right until, like, you know, someone gets called by Jesus to be the president of the United States that they don't like.
And here's the thing, exactly. As long as it's your version.
Right.
That works great.
Yeah.
But that's why a secular society is so important.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's because it protects you from that whole other thing.
Yeah.
It protects you from somebody else's religion from getting in power.
It's
right.
So
if
funny.
We're going to talk about it in those terms.
Right. Well, what's so funny is how much a lack of foresight these people have when mm-hmm. when you are in power, it just feels like obviously I should have the power and obviously my group should be the ones in
right.
charge. And obviously, you know, my group is right. So we should make laws that say that it's okay for my group to be right. And then when their group stops being right, suddenly
right.
it's like, well, you can't just let that person be right.
Yeah.
Everybody needs to be included. Well, you weren't including.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they better play nice and they better start to figure this whole thing out because, you know, because the day when the Muslims actually do run this country.
Yeah. Well, that doesn't seem very likely, but
not anytime soon.
But you know what the fastest growing segment of this population is? Us.
Who? Oh,
atheists,
yeah.
It's the fastest growing segment
like
of
white people?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I'm like, I don't think that's right.
No, white people are not growing as fast as some. But in terms of religion, it's the nuns. It's those who have no religious belief. That
nuns?
Yes.
Nuns?
Yes.
What's happening with them?
No. N-O-N-E.
Why do I keep misunderstanding you?
What? Oh, yeah. Anyway, it's the people with no religion that are growing. Hey, I think we've lost the plot here a little bit.
Wait, what? What plot?
Anyway.
Well, it's interesting. And thank you again, Paul, for bringing that up with us.
Yep. Well, mull that around, folks. Let us know what your thoughts are. If you have any thoughts, go ahead and email us. There's a podcast at thankgodimatheist.com that's a good place to reach us.
There's a telephone number, 424-666-8442. You can leave us a voicemail.
Yeah, or you can go on the Facebook, facebook.com/TGIAtheist, and start a conversation there.
It'd be awesome. We'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, or thank Paul for putting that.
Yeah, everybody go thank Paul.
Right. Well, and don't forget to go to thankgodimatheist.com and click on donate.
Or just read the blog, folks.
Or read the blog.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Good stuff happening there.
All righty.
All right. Talk to you later.
Bye-bye.